Now, of course, Monday sees the release of the second instalment of The Greatest Hits Paul, which covers 1990 to 2000. For those who don't know, can you tell us what exactly is on it? Because there's a couple of surprises on there as well, isn't there?
Well, if you're one of the first to go down to your local record store, you'll actually get three records. There's an A-sides album with 16 tracks. There's a second disc with 14 B-sides and rarities. And then mixed in with those A-sides, there are two completely new tracks. One you'll have heard on the radio recently, Electrical Storm, which William Orbit produced. There's a second completely new song called The Hands That Built America, which we've produced for inclusion in the new Martin Scorsese movie, Gangs of New York, which will be released at Christmas.
Have you seen it, Paul?
Yeah, I've seen the film.
Good movie?
Yeah.
It's a great cast, isn't it?
Everyone thinks because it's Martin Scorsese, it's a gangster movie, and it is kind of a gangster movie, but it's set in the 1840s. It has Daniel Day-Lewis and Leonardo DiCaprio and Cameron Diaz, and it's really it's going to be the big Christmas movie. I think it's coming out in America on December the 20th. I'm not sure what its English release date is, probably round about then. And then there's a third disc, which is a DVD, and that will contain something that we call the History Mix, which is like a video history of U2, all in about 8 or 9 minutes, and a couple of other interesting bits of film. So if you've got a DVD player, you'll be able to play that as well.
Paul, looking back at that period, you know, the 90s, I mean, how for you does it kind of compare musically to the previous 10 years, as far as U2 are concerned?
Well, it was really when the band started to kind of hit their stride, in my view. The Joshua Tree, obviously, was a huge hit. That was in 1987. And then we had something of a disappointment, perhaps, with the movie Rattle and Hum that we made, which I think in retrospect was a bit grandiose. But they bounced back very, very strongly indeed with Achtung Baby in 1992. And the Zoo TV tour was an extraordinarily exciting thing to be involved in. And that campaign, if you like, starting with Achtung Baby and the Zoo TV tour, then ran on into the Zooropa album, which was much more experimental. But it was that thing that all bands at some time try to do, which is release two albums in the same cycle, if you like. And Achtung Baby and Zooropa are very much a pair. And getting those two marvelous records away in an 18-month period was a great kind of creative triumph, I think, for U2. And I will always remember that period with great affection. And then there were a lot of other interesting things in the 80s, like the Passengers project with Brian Eno and odd people like Pavarotti. That was a sort of a mythical collection of soundtrack materials from mythical movies that didn't really exist. And then there was another side project, the Million Dollar Hotel album, which was for that movie that Bono wrote and Wim Wenders directed. Mm. And then the pop album, which again was not quite finished at the time it was released. And this Greatest Hits collection is an opportunity for a bit of revisionism.
Yeah.
And quite a few of the tracks that I think we always felt weren't completely realized have been finished now, and that includes Gone, and Numb, Staring at the Sun, all those tracks.
And that's with Mike Hedges, the producer.
Yeah. And they're much better now, and I think U2 fans will really enjoy hearing them kind of finished off properly.
I mean, I guess this best of, Paul, is a, you know, timely reminder, you know, as if we needed one, of U2's sort of legacy. I mean, the millions and millions of records, you know, that they've sold, and the millions and millions of people that they've played to as well. I know it's probably difficult for you to sort of be objective, but, you know, what do you think, Paul, has been the sort of secret of their sort of stay in power? Why have they stayed the distance when so many of their contemporaries have, you know, fallen by the wayside?
Well, they're very ambitious creatively and in every other way. They think being in U2 as the best job in the world, and you could only lose a job like that by doing it badly. So they try harder, they achieve more with each record that they make, and they're getting better all the time. I mean, the most interesting thing about managing U2 is that they are doing their best work now. They didn't do it in the 80s and start to coast after that. They are continually improving. They keep amazing me by doing that.
So final question then, Paul. I mean, what does 2003 hold in store for the band? What can we expect next year?
Well, they've been writing. They never really stop. Bono obviously has this this other career now in politics, which takes up a lot of his time, but he has extraordinary energy, and I know he's been working on new material. They all have, and they'll be going into the studio in the new year, and with a bit of luck, we'll have a new U2 studio album next year.
Paul, we're going to end with one of the remixes. Tell us which one you'd like to hear and why.
I'm going to choose Even Better Than the Real Thing, the Perfecto mix by Paul Oakenfold. I just think it's one of the best things he's ever done, and he's a great friend of ours. And I remember taking him on the road with us at the time of Zoo TV all those years ago, and he played in these stadiums with us in America, and it was great fun to have him around. And I'm always interested in everything he does. He's become such a big star. But when we first met him, it seems he was just starting out.